Hi, this is Simon Pegg, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Woo-hoo.
And this week we have the, I like to call this the 72-ounce steak version.
Yes.
Of
the big Texan movie releases.
We've got seven movies to talk about this week.
So it's going to be a boring show.
And I'm sure we'll slip a few other ones in there just for good measure.
Because the show's most interesting when we have nothing to talk about.
Right.
And we just randomly go off.
Right, but we also, I mean, we've got multiple protests going on out there in the world of cinema this week.
Is it multiple? I thought it was just
one. Well, yeah,
one.
There's Italian people.
Oh, that's right.
They're
they can't see each other.
So we've got all sorts of shenanigans happening.
Let's jump in.
Yeah, but before we get to that, here's how you can get a hold of us. You can go over to fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also get us at the iTunes store. Also, I'd like to mention, if you go to the iTunes store and you listen to our show, just
you win a new Nissan Sentra?
No. Just leave us a little review in there. I was reading. We have three, apparently.
Really?
And they're all positive. So we need some negative ones in order to make us feel like we're accomplishing something.
Yeah, I said, like, you guys don't know what you're talking about, and
yes.
I hate you.
So go to iTunes and give us a review if you're listening to us on iTunes. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. We got a couple emails this week. We're going to read those. We'll talk about those later in the show. And voicemail, if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. And we have our second special guest. You heard Simon Pegg at the opening.
Yes.
He did a little intro for us. But we also have a very special friend of the show who called in this week to talk about something.
Megan Fox.
Yes. Why'd you spoil it?
Oh, I'm sorry.
God.
It's a radio show. What is interesting about Megan Fox on the radio? That's what I want to know.
Nothing. I could make some interesting stuff with Megan Fox on the radio.
I guess we could, but
she would be funny to talk to.
Yeah, well,
which is why they don't let us talk to her.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but anyways, let's talk about these movies here.
Let's jump in.
We got tons of them. Which one do we want to do first?
Let's do an American. We'll get that one out of the way. American Carol. Former liberal David Zucker takes on Michael Moore in his new spoof.
He's America's most infamous filmmaker.
Here I am in the island paradise, Cuba.
Totally arrogant.
I love America. That's why it needs to be destroyed.
And completely clueless.
We're the biggest slave owner in the state.
This time, he's finally gone too far.
We're going to abolish July 4th.
We're not shaving till they bring all the troops home.
Thank you, boys.
They're women.
And it will come back to haunt him.
Don't hurt me. I've always stood up for gay rights.
I'm the angel of freaking death, you turd head.
What a way to end a trailer. I wanted to see this movie. I tried to see this movie. I emailed and called the publicist, and I'm like, look, I go on the radio, and I got stations, hosts already wanting to talk about it that are on talk radio, and they wouldn't give me a screener. I don't know why. So
yeah.
I have to say, even though it looks like I'll like it, and it comes in line closer to my political views than yours, probably.
Well,
but
two things I have to say about this movie.
Neither
one of them has anything relevant to what it's about.
Okay.
One is it's Chris Farley's brother who plays Michael Moore,
yes.
Which I think is funny.
Well, from behind, he looks like his
brother. He looks exactly like him.
I mean, his butt is equally as
unappealing. He's got that enormous ass like Michael Moore.
Okay.
And then secondly, I saw a very interesting comment on a website about this movie. Someone's like, why would you want to spoof Michael Moore? His movies only make like $50 anyways. And then I thought, he gave his last movie away for free. So it's not like you're spoofing blockbusters here. You're spoofing a guy whose movies don't make any money.
They make money. Well, Fahrenheit 9/11 was huge.
That was like it.
Sicko did okay.
But I mean,
we have to give it
funny. Like, what are they trying to account? Like, are they going to make money? I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways.
It might be like Fireproof and surprise everybody.
Yeah. They're religious right, man. They come out in support of their heroes.
Fireproof came out of nowhere and came in like number fourth.
I literally
even
think
with
that,
us and our inflammatory things we said about.
Yes, I literally think that Brad Pitt should do a movie where he plays like a famous porn star and say that he's only going to have sex with Angelina Jolie on set, and then that will be big enough buzz to carry that movie.
I'll give him a call and let him know that that's what he should do.
Please do.
All right.
So moving on.
It's
got
to be preemptive suck. Let's move on to the next
Our next
one.
Movie is Blindness. It is a mysterious illness striking people all over the world, turning them blind instantaneously.
Morning, Minister. Some strange calls this morning.
I need security at 18.
I'm going to have to ask you to come with us.
My fellow citizens.
have gone blind.
We're in a state of crisis.
They're going to be here any minute.
The decision to quarantine all those infected was not taken without careful consideration.
Hello? Can anyone hear us?
Is my mom here?
You'll never believe where they brought us.
Is there any government or order?
Chaos.
And as you heard, it was the dirty Canadian government that put them in there. Obviously.
Well, that's true. Well, what they did is because of the boat.
Yeah.
They do make it so it's not any specific city because
it exists in an ambiguous place.
Yeah, it says dollar signs, European license plates,
Spanish juice boxes.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
I like the movie.
I liked it too, I guess. Well, here.
It's a cross between Lord of the Flies and 28 Days Later.
Kind of, yeah. And, well, I mean, it was one of those movies that I felt like I appreciated how ambitious it was, mm-hmm. and how and what the filmmaker was trying to say, but it really lost me a little bit towards the middle because I felt like it kind of dragged.
It gets
a
dreary.
Little bit, but ultimately it's a well made film. It's well cast and
well, it's obviously trying to make some. I thought that it got a little heavy handed with it trying to. I think it was trying to make a statement about AIDS and sort of
fear.
Yeah,
I don't know about AIDS. I didn't get that.
I got that.
I mean, I got the whole like
you got AIDS.
No, I don't have AIDS.
Okay, just checking.
But I've heard that you can only contract it once.
Oh,
and
that's
then
true.
Your goal should be to share.
Then you
it.
Should be good. Then you don't have to wear a condom ever.
But what was I even gonna say?
I don't know. But I derailed.
But
you
no,
with that.
It really. I mean, it once you kind of peel back some of the layers of this film, it really speaks loudly about human nature and the will to survive and the dangerous consequences sometimes of the will to survive. And then, you know, how people will take advantage of other people. And
my only complaint about it is I thought that the people were a little bit too wimpy and didn't rise up when they should have.
That, too. I thought that, I mean, there was no real hero in the movie. It was just kind of a bunch of victims.
Yeah. Although I hear that there's a protest. There's a bunch of people demanding, planning not to see this movie.
We'll talk about that later.
One way to do that.
We've got another movie to get through first before we get into that.
Okay, well, wait. I say kind of rocks in blindness.
I say kind of rocks, yeah. Okay. I'm going to give it a kind of rocks.
Let's move on to Flash of Genius, the true story of a man who invented the intermittent wipers and how he battled Ford in court over the invention.
Ford is very interested.
Why, Ford? Wow. They want it.
Oh, where's it going?
Bob's real big on security.
Come on, let her rip.
That is very good, Bob. That's very, very good.
Bob Kern's winner of the wiper competition.
Congrats.
We're going to need a working unit from you.
There's 20 million cars built in this country, and every one of them's going to need our wiper.
They want out, Bob.
Who wants out?
Ford.
Out? They have the unit.
I know.
That is my design.
Right this way, sir. Outside, please.
They took this from us.
Now, this is very similar to Blindness, how I felt like there were a lot of elements of the movie that I liked. No, I mean, it has nothing to do with
Blindness. I was
about to
say, it's nothing like Blindness.
A lot of elements, but I felt like the movie was very tedious. It was very drawn out. It didn't need to be that long. You know, but you have a good performance from Greg Kinnear, though I feel like it's a character that we've seen him.
He's done it quite a few times.
I mean,
times.
It's the same character from Little Miss Sunshine,
and Ghost
essentially.
Town.
So, you know, but he gives a strong performance. I think it's good, but it's not like Oscar-worthy good.
It's going to fall in the cracks.
It could have potentially been, or, you know, other people have said it is.
I thought it was decent, but not great. I don't know. I'm sort of on the fence on this one. They also kind of, it looks real dreary, which I think they were doing for the whole rain motif.
Right, yeah.
But it really kind of weighted the film down.
Yeah, it was kind of a depressing flick, despite the fact that it was a rise up story. Yeah.
It was okay.
But by the time the rise up happens, you're like sleeping.
Yeah. I'm actually going to lean to kind of sucks on that one.
I say kind of sucks as well. And we're going to go to a break. And as you've heard, we're smashing them in today. We got seven movies to talk about, man. We're running right to the wire.
They need to hire you to do the voiceover for that Sunday, big closeout, smashing it in. Because you did it with such conviction.
I also do the hand gestures. I wonder if that guy does the hand gestures.
Do you have Hulk smash hands?
I need them. Awesome. And an Iron Man mask. So that'll be really, it'll be like the gender confused superhero.
What? Because you're a girl?
No.
Okay. Should we move on to the other? We got other movies to talk about.
Sure.
Let's talk some Disney.
This is a Disney movie?
Yeah, it's Beverly Hills Chihuahua. Awesome. Talking Dogs, Disney movie. A high society Chihuahua is kidnapped on vacation and must find her way home from Mexico.
My name is Bobby. I am descended from an ancient line of proud warriors. Today, we move within the inner circles of the wealthiest and most powerful people on the planet. Who am I? I'm a Chihuahua. Chihuahua.
Chihuahua.
Chihuahua.
Oh, Chihuahua.
Are you okay?
I'm sorry.
You're supposed to come back from this. You're like, I got it. You're giggling.
There's no way I could take a movie seriously that it's Chihuahua that sounds like George Lopez. This is no way.
You know how they achieved that?
They actually have George Lopez voice the Chihuahua. That's amazing.
But actually,
I can't believe that this movie got made. How many Yokiro Taco Bell jokes are there in this movie?
None, actually. None.
Why?
But you know what? It's Drew Barrymore plays the Chihuahua who gets lost, and then Poppy goes to find her.
Obviously.
You know what?
It's like Lady and the Tramp.
Well, sort of.
With burritos.
Okay. Wow.
Instead of spaghetti, they have a burrito.
You know what? This is a movie that falls in that line.
It's the most racist movie ever.
No, it's not, because it has Drew Barrymore as the prissy girl.
Because they have a white person playing a Chihuahua. That's exactly why.
Oh, but it's hysterical with the credits roll.
This is worse than blackface. This is the people that didn't like Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder. No way. This is way worse.
Are you saying that Chihuahuas should rise up and protest this movie?
And their Mexican owner. And their Beverly Hills
owners.
Well,
you're just assuming
owners.
That Mexicans own Chihuahuas.
No, there aren't any Mexican people that own Chihuahuas. It's all white people in Beverly Hills that have Chihuahuas. Okay. So everyone should be offended at Disney. Disney.
This is the thing, though. This movie is... I know critics who are like, oh, this is going to be the worst movie ever. You have to go in knowing what this movie is. It's Talking Dogs. Disney movie about talking dogs.
That's the problem with you. You go in expecting that these movies are going to be better than they are. And
no,
you always come out of these movies, you're like, well, it was bad, but it was that.
No, I like this movie. I thought it was
again.
It was sort of like Underdog in the same way they did it, where it's live action and
Kevin
everything.
Kevin Carr, you are the ultimate litmus test for bad movies.
Did you see it?
No.
Then you don't know.
I'm just saying that I need to start seeing these movies.
This movie was made for the family audience. It was made to take your kids to, and I took my kids. They absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And it was cute. The funniest part is they kind of take themselves seriously through it, which is good because you have to. You can't kind of do it tongue-in-cheek. You kind of had to take it seriously. Mm-hmm. But the best part about it is the soundtrack, because they have an awesome soundtrack. I mean, it's like when they have like the chase scenes, it's like sweeping. It's like something you'd hear in like Far and Away. And it's like the best soundtrack because it's so inappropriate for the dogs, which makes it even funnier. But it's I mean, if you want to see the movie, if you want to see the grown up movie, or if you want to see the the grown up comedy, don't see this one. But take your kids to this one, because this is really kind of cute. I can't argue with you here. It kind of rocks, man.
Fair enough. Kevin Carr says kind
of. I'm going to say, and I'm going to have something to say about the next one. But go. You want to do the next one?
Yeah. Moving on. Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. Did I get that right? Playlist? Yeah.
Eventually, yeah.
Two misfits in the New York indie music scene fall in love during one night in the city.
Nora! Alone again?
I came here with someone.
Who?
Would you be my boyfriend for 5 minutes?
What?
Please just go with it, okay?
Nick! Nora! How do you guys, like, know each other?
We're the same dentist.
Yeah, he's good.
Are you Triss's Nick?
I gotta get my friend home.
We'll take the drunk mess home.
Woo!
You two go have fun.
If you touch one hair on her head, I will kill all of you.
Sorry, I'm being carried.
Ow.
Oh, she'll be okay.
Now, this is a movie. I have to preface this by saying, just as Beverly Hills Chihuahua,
yeah,
I went in expecting exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty easy to expect what this is. This is,
yeah, I think so.
It's a sort of older teen, young 20s romantic comedy from an indie movie scene. Yeah. Or from the indie rock scene. It's sort of like Dazed and Confused with indie music instead of the last days of
and less pot. School.
A lot less pot. But
yeah.
I think Snoop Dogg uses less pot than they did on Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, which is a stretch.
That's a lot.
But no, there's nothing overwhelmingly original about this movie, and it tries very hard to capture that spirit of Juno. You know, I've caught a few people saying it's this year's Juno, but it's not that. But it does have a similar level of energy, I think, and I think it's a very upbeat film. It's very
and a similar title sequence.
Similar title sequence. You know, Michael Cera obviously is in it. But I felt like, you know, if you see the trailer and you see this movie and you can pretty much tell what it's going to be, and it works. You know, it's not the best movie out this week, but I'd say if you're in, you know, my neck of the woods age-wise and you're looking for a date movie, it's a pretty solid date movie. And
you're creeping up into the hairline on that neck of the woods.
Whatever. but no, I enjoyed it. And I was very tired when I saw it, and it kept me... get me engaged. So
it's short too.
If there's one thing I liked, it was 90 minutes long and it had a good energy and it got through the story and it didn't linger anywhere. And, you know, so I think, and plus Michael Cera is very funny. He delivers his one liners. Plus Kat Dennings is hot.
She's hot. Not like, as hot as Alexa, whatever her name is.
Alexis Zinya.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Yeah. She's,
zoom, zoom, Zima.
You should see that. There's a movie called Sex and Breakfast with her and Macaulay Culkin.
There's also a movie called Broken Flowers, which she looks pretty good in.
Oh, I didn't see that. Stitch of clothing. I should check that out too. So.
Even though
she's
looks like
smoking hot.
She looks like she's 15.
Yeah, but it's pretty funny, and they do a couple of clever gags in there. That one involves chewing gum, which is extremely gross. But
I thought that went on too long.
I felt like they played that one all the way to the end, and I like that. Yeah, they never let that one go. So yeah. Fair enough.
This is the movie that if you're a parent of teenagers, just avoid, because you will.
you don't want to know what they're seeing.
You will never let your kids do anything ever again. This is really though.
Because I had to keep reminding myself that these are like high school kids.
Yeah, this is for the bridge and tunnel crowd. Kind of this is going to really
wannabe city people.
Yeah, the people who live in the suburbs who go into the city for the rock music experience. That's what it's for, because that's who it's going to
for sure
really really attract. For sure. I thought it was okay. It wasn't my cup of tea. I'm not really into sort of the indie rock scene, so I'm kind of like whatever.
I think it rocks in its simplicity.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was well made and decent, but
that's my grade. Rocks.
But yeah, you have to be somebody who's going to appreciate it.
All right, cool. What do you say? What's your grade?
Well, you know, I'm going to say kind of rocks.
Fair enough. And moving you? On, I said rocks.
Oh, okay.
Moving on, last movie we got to talk about here is called How to Lose Friends and Alienate People.
We have to. Contractually, we have to, because Simon Pegg did the intro for us.
Yes. Simon Pegg stars as a tabloid journalist who makes his way as a Hollywood insider.
This is your shot.
This magazine.
Nation's window into high society.
I work for a little periodical you might have heard of. Sharps Magazine.
This is a library card.
Based on the true story of a real idiot.
I don't know the meaning of the word fear.
I'm sure there are many words you don't know the meaning of.
He's out of line.
So, the hamster thing that you play in the film.
It's a chipmunk.
Whatever. Is that gay?
He's out of touch.
Second question. Are you gay?
Question, Neil. Are you gay? No.
Are you Jewish? No, you just assume that they're all Jewish and they're all gay.
Gave away the line from the movie. This is the thing. I will give them credit on this movie. Kirsten Dunst looked good.
This was your girl, man.
I'm not a big fan of her.
You notoriously hate her.
Well, no. I haven't seen much. I thought she did a good job in this. I thought she
was good.
She looked
appealing. It was a good role for her, I thought.
But Megan Fox is in it, and I think, did I say this on the air last week? But I'll say it again. Megan Fox is the argument for objectification of women, because
she's also very funny.
She looks gorgeous, but when the second she speaks, it's sort of like, yeah.
She plays a good caricature of herself in this movie.
I don't know how much acting was involved.
Yeah, I know. That's the funny part.
Not much.
But you know what I will say about this? Simon Pegg is absolutely hilarious, and you know, whatever he's in, it just kind of works for me. So I'm a terrible gauge on whether this is a good movie or not, because if Simon Pegg's in it, I'm totally there. So if you're like me and you dig anything Simon Pegg does, you know, go see this movie. But also I would like to discuss the fluctuation of hairstyle for Jeff Bridges over the course of this year, because he was in Iron Man and he was bald with the beard, and then he was in this movie with crazy hair.
Yeah.
So Jeff Bridges is my hero.
The last time he looked normal with his hair was like Tron.
What?
Was Tron.
Like Charon.
Like the first one.
The first one, not the second one.
The only problem with this movie.
And then he went to the Big Lebowski, which even crazier, awesome. Weird dude hair. So.
Well, here the only problem that, and I know some people have heard him complain, this is going to be like Ghost Town, where it's like not mainstream enough to be mainstream romantic comedy,
some
but
people
not
just won't get it.
Indie enough. And so it's kind of falls in this midland. And the first
it's
part
very funny
is
movie.
Different. It's cute. It's funny. I'm going to say kind of rocks. Maybe?
I have to agree with the kind of rocks. When we come back, we're going to talk about another movie. Why not?
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And like the clap, we are back.
Wow. Well, wait, that doesn't make sense.
No, I was thinking of something
it's
else.
Herpes that would have flare-ups.
We're having a flare-up.
You pointed
the
out
segment
that
is our herpes flare-up.
Oh, great. That's what we'll... Yep. That's going to be our new tagline. Fat guys at the movies. It's
I actually,
like herpes
I'm
going to
write that into the schedule right now for next week. This is the herpes flare-up.
The herpes flare-up.
Anyways, we've got a couple of things to talk about here.
Just like herpes with less burning and itching.
Speak for yourself.
Wow.
I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
Yes,
but
you do. You
speaking
know
of
everything.
Burning and itching, it's time for the Indie Spotlight. I don't know what that means. But
no, I don't know what that means either.
Anywho.
Neil, you've derailed yourself.
I know. I thought I was going to be clever. Didn't
you
work.
Know what this is like? This is like
it's like watching the Titanic go down. Admit it.
Our long-term listeners, and you know who you are, will remember there was a time
all
when,
one of you
when you were like
my
gonna,
mom.
You tried to pray at the beginning of a segment once.
Oh yeah,
and you're like, I've got a great idea, and you were relying on me making fun of you,
and you
I
just
didn't
do
I didn't
anything.
Say anything.
Stupid.
And you burned.
You can't play along with the jokes.
I didn't know you need. You were like, I got it. And I'm like, okay. And I'm standing back waiting for the hilarity to ensue.
Yeah, and it didn't.
It never ensued.
It's okay. But anyways, so our Indie Spotlight is the movie Appaloosa.
Which is a cute little romantic comedy about kids in the Netherlands.
Well, and we went out and we tried to find a trailer that we could cut down to 30 seconds for this. Couldn't find one because it's so damn long.
It wasn't that long.
The movie was.
No, it wasn't. It was 2 hours.
Yeah, it felt long.
It was not as long as other movies.
But let me just say this. Of all the Indie
Spotlight
movies... We watched
Miracle at St. Anna last week. That was
That's
long.
True. That was pretty bad. But this one was by far the girliest Western I've ever seen in my life.
What?
Oh, yeah.
You've never seen
one. Well, it starts out, and you know what? Let me kind of walk you through my experience with this movie. It starts out, and there's like some, you know, badass gunslinging in the beginning, and some people get shot and stuff. I don't want to give too much away because it's like the first 5 minutes of the movie. And I'm like, oh, cool, man. Like, let's do an old school shoot 'em up Western and just make like over the top, like John Wayne type characters for Ed Harris and Viggo Mortensen, who star in the film. And then just have like Jeremy Irons be like this crazy bad guy. And it was really cool for about the first 20 minutes of the movie. And then I decided that Renee Zellweger showed up. And at that point, I should have known what was going to happen. Because Renee Zellweger cannot show up in a movie and then it continue to be like a cool movie. It has to.
Wow, you're making some pretty sweeping.
It has to then turn into a chick flick.
I'm gonna defend Renee Zellweger simply because
she wasn't bad in this movie. But
I don't like her, but I think she's a fine actor. And it's like I've seen like Cold Mountain, which was a
very good movie.
Not a good movie.
No, I love that movie.
You cannot deny that she did a great job acting, even though I didn't like the movie. I thought she was fantastic in it.
I'm not going to not deny the fact that she was good.
Chicago. She was
very
perfect
good
for that role.
But
a little thin.
But here's the problem with Appaloosa. It turned into something completely different about halfway through, and there's not an appropriate word to describe what happens to this movie halfway through. It just it like
try and make one up.
It's
snarfled.
Balls fall off.
It's balls fall off.
That's what happens to this movie. And I think Ed Harris
some,
is a really good dude.
It gets some stones at the end of the movie.
And then, you know, yeah, and it tries to redeem itself, but for me, it was too little too late at the end.
I don't know. I like the movie's balls.
Its balls literally fall off halfway through the movie. I think that's the only way I can describe it.
Okay. I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool. I dug it. And what I thought was so great about it is they had these hard-nosed, you know, badass characters.
Yeah.
And then, and, you know, Renee, the woman shows up. And the thing is, literally, I saw this And she shows up, and I'm like, you know, in a lot of movies, especially sort of like real macho-y kind of movies, like a Western.
Yeah.
Or like a coach movie about a coach with a baseball or basketball football team. Mm-hmm. The second they bring in the wife, you're just like, oh, geez, they can cut all these scenes. But they have to put it in because the studio says we need to have something for the women. And I'm like, usually when a woman shows up in a Western, it's just completely, it's dead air. But she was very integral to the plot. So I forgave it. I thought she was a very interesting character.
She was very integral to the castration of the plot, yes.
No, she didn't. I thought it was.
It wasn't even her fault. That was the problem. All the men in the movie turned into huge whatever.
It did lack the complete...
Testosterone.
The complete crazy shoot 'em up near the end or anything like that.
I needed that.
They should have had that. Well, it's like...
Or I needed one in the middle. I would have taken two mediocre shoot 'em ups if there was one in the middle and one at the end.
But see, I thought it was better than 310 to Yuma, last year's Western.
I don't know. I think I enjoyed...
That one's balls didn't even attach at the beginning.
I don't think you're
that
right.
I think you're wrong. Unballsiest villain. That was like Russell Crowe being like, I'm the bad guy, but you know, no, I'm very sensitive.
No, because the villain wasn't Russell Crowe. He wasn't the best villain in that. It was, what's his name? Ben.
Oh, the guy from 30 Days of Night.
Yeah, he was awesome in that movie. He was the crazy guy.
The best Western, of recent years was Open Range. Easily the best.
I see now. I still need to see Open Range.
That one has a balls of the wall.
Yeah, shoot 'em up. Let's do that.
That's a great movie.
Renee Zellweger, no,
she was not in that movie.
Leatherheads was, you know,
not a Western.
Football movie turned into a chick flick.
Yeah.
This is I do not like the trend from Renee Zellweger right now. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So what she has, what could she do to?
I would still make out with her, but
I don't know. She looks like she ate a lemon.
I would still make out with her, but
she's not out with her butt. That is hilarious.
No, but she is. You know, she's not doing very well in movies that I should like Appaloosa.
I like Appaloosa.
So, and I believe according to comments on filmschoolrejects.com, Robert Fuhr, who's one of our esteemed writers, is going to punch me in the face for not liking this movie.
I loved Appaloosa. Robert, next time we're together with Neil, we're going to punch Neil in the face.
That's fine. I'll take a punch in the face if it means I can continue to dislike this film.
Really?
So
come here, I'll punch you in the face.
No, I'm good.
Dude, was this like the time when you said you're going to do like 10 push-ups if
probably something very happened? Similar to the push-ups.
What was the push-ups over?
I have no idea. I think it was box office, something box office.
Oh, yeah, that was like something I said wasn't going to make it. You said it was.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Who knows? Anyways, I'm saying kind of sucks on Appaloosa.
Oh, it rocked. Appaloosa rocked.
Grows a big whatever.
Do we want to do viewer email?
No, we'll do that in the internet-only segment.
We don't have any viewers. Ha! Tricked you.
I don't want to do that either. No, we got to talk about box office, man.
Okay, let's talk about your BO.
Last week we had Eagle Eye, $30 million. We were like dead on there. Totally. I think we both said $30
million. That one was like the most predictable weekend ever. Although the one thing that wasn't...
Yeah, well, hold on. I'll get to that.
Okay.
We had Knights and Rodanthe in second, which was also very predictable. And Lakeview Terrace in third, Sam Jackson holding it strong. But Lakeview Terrace was almost taken over by the surprise of the week, which was...
Fireproof.
Yes, with the former gay porn star himself.
Kirk Cameron.
We still haven't gotten a call from his lawyers.
No, so we can just go on with that whole Brazilian gay porno thing.
Now it's Brazilian?
It was always Brazilian. That's what they do with the gay porno in Brazil.
I try and block out stuff that you say from week to week.
You just block out the fact that
anytime you talk about gay porn.
You've done gay porn. And Miracle in St. Anna completely bombed.
It did?
Yeah, it was at 9th. It made $3.5 million. It cost $45 million to make.
That's fantastic.
And Choke did well for limited release. But it was still out of the top 10. But the big news of the weekend was The Lucky Ones.
Oh, yeah.
Came in... Oh, wait. They revised these
32nd.
Numbers.
32nd.
It came in 32nd.
$183,088.
To put it in perspective, here are some movies in this current week of release that did better.
The best one is the one that I just got the DVD.
Disaster movie. Did better than The Lucky Ones this week.
Mirrors finished 25th. That's coming out on DVD in like a week or a month or whatever.
I mean, stuff like The Duchess, which was in like 50 theaters, did better.
Kung Fu Panda.
Which is coming out, yeah. Bangkok Dangerous, which opened with nothing, still did better this weekend than The Lucky One. The Lucky Ones was such an unmitigated disaster.
Kung Fu Panda's been out for 17 weeks.
Yes. And, I mean, no big surprise that Dark Knight did better. We knew that. But The House Bunny, Vicky Cristy Barcelona.
Well, The Dark Knight did better than Choke. So
here are some movies in release. It just barely squeaked out a win over Space Chimps.
Yes. And Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which I actually have the DVD sitting over there on my table. So, I mean, we're literally talking $40,000 worth, and I can see the DVD from here.
Yes.
Wow.
That is how badly the Lucky Ones did. Will Hollywood
get
the picture?
Sometimes you get what you deserve.
There you go. This week, what do you
think?
That's
what they get for not showing it to us.
What do you think?
I guarantee you it would have made another 50 grand.
No, they showed the Lucky Ones. We just didn't. We saw Flash of Genius.
That's they get for screening it. Never mind.
Whatever. What's going to win this weekend?
Oh, God.
Let's put them all Chihuahua. Into a hat. No, Beverly Hills
Chihuahua.
Beverly Hills
Chihuahua is going to win.
Tracking way above everything else.
I hope that something random happens.
No.
And that
Beverly Hills Chihuahua is not a bad movie. It's cute.
That's what you say.
It's like...
I don't believe it.
It's like the dog version of the Love Bug.
I thought you were going to say the Love Guru. Which
no,
then
no.
I would have been like, gotcha, sucker.
What?
Because you didn't like the Love Guru.
I didn't like the Love Guru. Although Rajan Zed is now wanting Natalie Portman to apologize. That's the problem when you start a movement like that.
And then you let them think that they won.
Yeah, and now he's like, well, I've got power. Well, wait, I've got people donating money, so I have to continue my reasoning. I just stopped talking.
I wish this was an internet-only segment because I would have a few choice words for people who sent that guy money.
Now, here's the question. How do you think American Carol is going to do? And the only reason I say this is because Fireproof did so well last week.
I think that it will do very similar to the way Religious has done, which Religious, over its first 2 days, came out on the first, has done like no money.
Yeah. So, well, it was Cole Abias from Film School Rejects pointed out that it basically targets the atheists, and that's about it.
That's about it. Well, he's like, I get it. You know, it takes some cojones to go up against every major religion, but Bill Maher kind of gets in the way.
Well,
which
Bill Maher's
is expected.
Idiot.
I mean, Bill Maher, as much as I like the guy, he does get in his own way sometimes.
He was funny like 20 years ago, before his career took off.
But when it comes to American Carol, I think they're publicizing it enough that it might squeeze into the top 10.
I think it's easily in the top 10.
But I don't think it's going to be like shocking. Like if it makes 5 million or 6 million, I won't be shocked.
Yeah, it'll make a
because
couple
it's
million.
On every, like, you know, and I've been watching a lot of CNN lately. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not just on Fox News.
Well,
which
and
amazes
I think it's one that it's not tracking well, but I think it's very hard. That's one of those movies that's hard to track. And I know even though they didn't screen it for critics, every radio station I've talked to is like, oh, yeah, we're interviewing the producer. We're interviewing Kevin Farley. So they're doing a lot of press for this. So I think it's going to get a big.
Yeah, I think it's going to get
several million dollars.
It'll do well. And I think really you'll have Beverly Hills Chihuahua. You'll have Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, which is getting a lot of good press. And they're advertising the crap out of that movie. Yeah. And then
the appropriate audiences, too.
Yeah, the other two movies, How to Lose Friends and Alienate People and Blindness, are just going to. Blindness might do okay, but I think How to Lose Friends and Alienate People, just like you talked about, comparing it to Ghost Town.
It's going
to
disappear.
It unfortunately, because it's a much better movie than what its box office totals will.
Although I like Ghost Town.
So I like Ghost Town too. I like both movies, and I think it's sad that they, but you know, whatever. It'll do okay on DVD. Simon Pegg, he's the man. Anywho, when we come back, if you're going to stick around for the internet-only segment, we've got all kinds of fun stuff, including a special guest voicemail and our October movie guide. And we're going to talk about Steven Seagal, so stick around. And we're back. In the internet only segment, in the no spin zone. Ta-da.
What was that?
I want a shtick to the internet only segment. Like I just want
you,
like
you
a
have
sound
a herpes
thing.
Segment in the last one.
We
like,
have the herpes segment.
We're the herpes flare up.
We need a theme here.
This is the
gaseous emissions segment.
Yeah, I let one go.
You did, and I cannot wait till it moves over here.
And I did not poo myself.
That's good. But we're going to start with a special guest. Really a special guest because they're not here. They're not on the phone.
He's doing something else.
He's doing something else. In fact, as
even more
we
important
speak, our good friend Crazy Legs Conti is participating in the Netflix movie watching contest marathon thing. They're trying to set the world record for who can watch the movies the longest in a row.
And you're not allowed to look away from the screen.
You're not allowed to look away from the screen?
That's the whole thing.
That's BS.
Yeah.
What do you have to go to the bathroom?
Well, you don't have to look.
They take breaks in between the movies?
Yeah, I think they take breaks.
Okay.
They're not going to make you sit there and like hold yourself for 5 days.
I would win that. Because I could lay on the couch and watch TV for like 77.
Speaking of laying on the couch, you ever hear of David Blaine?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, he always does these stunts.
Did you see the David Blaine trick where Triumph the Insult Comic Dog went and made fun of him?
Really? That's awesome.
When he was hanging upside down?
That'd be awesome. That well, he does that. He sits there and he's basically like, I'm going to stand on a ledge for 3 days.
Right.
And he'll be like, I am going to put a grape up my nose for 5 days. You know, things like right. that. I want to arrange through Fat Guys at the Movies and Film School Rejects and everything a stunt where I just don't get off the couch.
Okay. Kevin Carr is going to sit on the couch for a week straight.
Yeah. You're going to change my bedpan.
No. Brian's going to.
No.
Yes. Okay. But no, the funny part about the David Blaine thing is like Triumph the Insult Comic Dog showed up from Conan and they saw David Blaine.
As opposed to Triumph the Insult Comic from CNN.
Leno. But...
from the McNeil Lehrer report.
They showed this part where they like, you know, he was hanging upside down. He's supposed to hang upside down for like 3 days straight. Mm-hmm. They would give him breaks. Like he took like a 15-minute coffee break where they put this crane up there and he stood and he hung out on this crane.
Well, that's not.
And I was like, that's total BS, man.
That is total bullshit. That's bullshit, David Blaine.
What kind of shit are you trying to pull, David Blaine?
I wouldn't get off the couch.
If I believed that David Blaine was anything more than a douchebag, I would have been really pissed off right there when I saw that.
Well, what's the sad thing about David Blaine? His close up magic is brilliant. His actual sleight of hand is
some fancy stunts and shit.
But he'll be he's sort of like
I'm gonna put myself in ice.
Now, Crazy Legs Connie put himself in a popcorn sarcophagus and ate his way out.
See, now that's impressive.
Yeah,
because that's something that I wouldn't even try.
Yeah, and the worst part about it is. I have enough trouble when if I'm in a movie and I drop popcorn on my shirt, picking it off of there.
You're right.
I wouldn't want it all over me and then eat
it. Fair enough. Anyways, let's listen to his message. He called in Thursday morning, very early. We weren't around, obviously, to answer the phone, but he did leave us a message.
Neil Miller, Kevin Carr, Fat Guys at the Movies, Crazy Legs Conti, calling from New York City, mere hours away from stepping into a plexiglass booth in the shape of a living room in the heart of Times Square for the Netflix Popcorn Bowl movie-watching championship. That's right, 8 competitors, 7 of which are planning to watch movies 24 hours a day for 5 days straight, breaking the world record, winning 10 grand and a lifetime subscription to Netflix. And one, myself, simply a fan of Fat Guys at the Movies, I can release now that Neil will be very happy. Iron Man, first movie on tap. Kevin will be pleased, as I am, Ghostbusters. But I have a feeling I'll be falling asleep during The English Patient, which is scheduled day one. And I don't think there are any boobs in it. So, guys, I'll be wearing a shirt in your honor. It'll be underneath my Team Zizou-esque Netflix jumpsuit. I'll send you a picture and maybe even send you the game-worn jersey after the fact. So keep up the good work on Fat Guys at the Movies. And as soon as I'm out of the box, I'll be listening again. Peace.
Now, I will say this. If there's anything that I really like about Crazy Legs, the man can hype up anything.
Oh, he's awesome.
Because he just made that sound like an epic battle.
Oh, it is.
Was going to ensue in Times Square.
This is the guy, he ate 49 crystals last weekend in the fight.
And
Crystal
now he's
Square.
Like, I'm just going to go watch movies for 5 days straight.
Absolutely. And
what
you know,
are you going to do about it?
I do have a couple things to say. First of all, Neil is also a huge fan of Ghostbusters.
Big time. That's like one of my all-time. I was... 3 Halloweens in a row was a character from Ghostbusters.
That's right. You were Sigourney Weaver. they had... The other thing I have to say is, yes, Legs, there are boobs in The English Patient. I don't know if you really want to watch them. I mean, it's Kristen Scott Thomas naked. Mm,
she's
totally naked, too.
I mean, she's...
Getting in the tub. But, yeah, there is boobs, although I would not fault you for falling asleep.
You know, that's a rough one, man.
That is not treading on the
but
memory of Anthony.
But he said it was
Anthony
day one, though. So
you can probably make it through on day one. That would be rough to put it like at midnight on day two.
I just remember when we did the 24-hour sci-fi marathon, and I think
1984.
Yeah, 1984 in like hour 20.
Oh, it was.
And
rough.
Then A Clockwork Orange is not a movie that I would normally fall asleep during, but in hour 23,
yeah,
It was rough, man. It was rough. So, you know, hats off to Crazy Legs, and I hope he wins, because then we could be like, yeah, we totally knew he was going to win.
Absolutely. And Legs, yes, do send us your sweaty, unwashed jersey.
We're going to get his account of this entire, of all of these shenanigans once it's all over.
I think we're going to have two special guests next week.
Yeah. We'll do a little special interview. Guest it up like crazy, and, you know, we'll invite Bruce Campbell over for beers.
Whatever. Sure.
We should just do that, too.
He'll show up.
Why not? So moving on, we got our little October movie guy. This is actually.
Oh, can we talk about blindness and the protests first?
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about blind people who are not going to go see blindness.
They refuse to see blindness.
I don't even think we need to say anything else. No, the Federation of the Blind, whatever, is going to protest this weekend because they're offended of the way blind people are depicted in the movie Blindness. And here's what I have to say to that: the blind people, like the real blind people, are the only people who make any sense in that movie.
Well, there's only one real blind person in it.
No, there's two.
Is there a real blind person?
Yeah, there's the bad guy.
Yeah.
Big guy, Maury Kaikin, and Danny Glover is a real blind guy. He was really, he talks about how he was born blind. They're the only ones that actually are not crazy.
Okay.
To a certain extent.
Yeah. Except that he was stupid enough to get himself quarantined.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
For not really being blind.
But it's like, you know, they talked about, because in the movie there's different, you know, violence breaks out, and then there's situations where, you know, there's some like people trading sex for food and things. And I mean, it turns into a very barbaric situation, but as one of the commenters on Film School Rejects pointed out, that stuff would have happened if they could see it, just would have taken them longer.
Yeah.
They just wouldn't have freaked out.
All it is that the blindness is it catches everybody off guard. No one has a chance to adjust to it. And they're also quarantining people because it's an illness. That's the only thing. So suck it up, blind people. Jesus. You're not going to see the movie anyways. Why? Because you're blind. I'm sorry. And if we have any blind listeners out there, you're not going to see the movie anyways.
Yeah, for sure.
Or you're not going to attend the movie probably.
I just think that's so dumb. It's like, I hate people that protest movies.
You know I'm going to protest.
What's coming up
next week? I'm going to protest it.
I don't even... What is coming up next week? I'm protesting Beverly Hills Chihuahua because they have Drew Barrymore playing a Chihuahua. Chihuahuas are Mexican. It's a scientific fact.
Okay.
Damn it.
So they had Andy Garcia play a German Shepherd. Is that wrong?
That's also wrong. They should have switched those. Andy Garcia should have done a woman's voice and played the girl Chihuahua.
What are you talking about?
That would
have been
more appropriate.
Makes no sense. He's not even...
Would have been more appropriate.
Is he Spanish? Or yeah, he's Spanish.
Where's Justin Long in all of this? Why isn't he playing the gay Chihuahua?
Michael Urie from Ugly Betty played a gay Chihuahua. There's a gay pug.
Gay dogs should be offended.
Yes.
But next week is...
Let's move on. What's the other stuff?
The October movie guide. Because this week begins October.
Number one to see, High School Musical 3.
Fair enough. You had to get that in there because it's not on my list at
Disney
all.
My Disney peeps have to.
Yeah. Whatever. I wish I could collect a check from Disney too. That's right.
Yeah, right.
That's right. That's right. Kevin's working under the table for Disney.
What are you talking about?
I have no idea.
I wouldn't be doing this show if I was working under the table for Disney.
Yeah, I know. I think I just started some shenanigans. But anyway, so I broke it up into categories. The eight movies that you should see in the month of October. And there are more than eight. I didn't just pick the eight movies that are coming out. There's friggin' seven coming out this week. So there you go. But there are people
who have
accused me.
For nine
of just
people, go
eight.
See this.
But, you know, we did them in categories, so we'll start with the date movie, the date night pick, which is High School Musical 3. Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, which comes out October 3rd. Mm-hmm. So, very endearing, you know, decent date movie, might get you laid, who knows.
You might just get in a girl's pants.
Yeah, fair enough. The indie pick, or the kind of the Oscar-ish bait pick, is Rachel Getting Married, because I've seen a couple of the other ones, Appaloosa Rocks. And Blindness, and I didn't think, and Flash of Genius, I didn't think they really lived up to what they needed to.
But you're picking one.
So I'm picking one I haven't seen. So, but no, I mean, we're hearing a lot of good stuff from Toronto. I mean, really, really top-notch performance from Anne Hathaway. So that one, October 3rd is in limited release. Through the rest of the month, it'll be out. The Action Junkie pick is Guy Ritchie's Rock and Rolla, which comes out October 8th in limited release, and then later in the month, I think on the 24th, it comes out wide. And
along with High School Musical 3.
I mean, what can I say about Guy Ritchie and gun-toting gangsters from London? I mean, that is an equation that is wrought with possibilities.
Okay.
So, I'm digging it. It's Guy Ritchie going back to being Guy Ritchie. And then we had the editor's pick of the week of the month,
which is High School Musical 3,
Body of Lies. Really, because I think this is the one movie, and it comes out October 10th, that is almost guaranteed to at least be good.
You know what's guaranteed?
What?
Leonardo DiCaprio will not have an accent. Excuse me. Accent.
I hope not. But it's, you know, it's Ridley Scott, it's Russell Crowe, Leonardo DiCaprio.
I thought that was the guy from Tropic Thunder.
What?
Kirk Lazarus. Isn't that Kirk Lazarus?
You know, this is one of that's probably the easily like the must see movie of October. So, and then we have the family pick, which I know you would argue High School Musical 3, whatever. But City of Ember, I think, it comes out October 10th. Just, it looks so cool, man. I mean, it looks like such an interesting adventure movie. Mm-hmm. So, and Bill Murray, assuming Bill Murray is still funny, it should be a good movie.
Yeah. As long as he doesn't pull a Robert De Niro and Stardust move.
Yep. So then we have the fanboy pick, which I think this one was the easiest one, Max Payne.
Because it's the only fanboy movie coming out.
Like the only fanboy movie coming out in October. But I think it, you know, it comes out October 17th, and it is the movie that everyone is holding fingers crossed that it won't suck. And I really feel
that's totally not what I'm doing. I'm holding fingers crossed to see Mila Kunis naked. Boobs.
Yeah. But besides that, it, you know, Hollywood's had a long string of terrible video game adaptations. You know, finally, there's one that is not being directed by Uwe Boll, despite the fact that I thought Postal was good. You know, it's got a solid cast. Everything that we've seen so far, Comic-Con and whatnot, looks good.
I thought the film adaptation of Mario Kart was pretty good.
I hate you. This one looks like it could be good, so October 17th. And then the thriller pick. This one was really tough because it really came down to Quarantine, which stars one of my favorite very underrated women, Jennifer Carpenter, who's also on Dexter. And it's adapted from a very popular Asian movie called Rec, which is apparently crazy.
Saw is directed?
No, Quarantine.
Oh, okay.
But my pick is Saw 5 because...
Not High School Musical
3? Not High School Musical 3. No one gets cut up. Because you know what? Here's the deal. It does not seem like horror fans can go wrong with the Saw series. It seems like no matter how many of these they make... They're all okay.
We'll see.
So, you know,
I liked all Saw movies.
Like I said, I mean, you're the perfect target demographic, and we've gone through multiple Saw movies, and every one of them, you go in thinking, man, there's no way, and it seems to come out the other side as another decent movie. So, and then the comedy pick, which is the last movie to come out in this month, October 31st, Zach and Mary Make a Porno. Go see it because it's got the word porno in the title. And yeah. It's Kevin Smith. How can we not? And it's Kevin Smith returning to raunchy comedy.
As long as there's...
I'm told there is both boobs and poop in this movie.
Hopefully not at the same time.
I hope.
Not on top of each other.
But Katie Morgan's in this movie. But we discussed last week, we want to see Elizabeth Banks nude, not Katie Morgan.
You're not going to see her nude. You have a better shot at seeing Seth Rogen nude. And it better not be Seth Rogen's boobs. That if it's Seth Rogen's boobs and poop, I will track Kevin Smith down and punch him in the face.
You heard it here. To be honest with you, there's actually a lot of comedies that came out, a bunch of them that come out this week. But I think that there's too much there for Kevin Smith to work with. He's gonna have a good release. So there you have it, the 8 movies to see in October. And I think that's it for us. We were going to talk about Steven Seagal and the fact that he's still out there, but go to filmschoolrejects.com and check out, we got an exclusive clip of Steven Seagal's new movie, Kill Switch, he slap fights.
We do want to say thanks to Jeff from Studio City, and thanks to Pete.
The emails.
From Louisville? Is he from Louisville?
Pete from Louisville and Jeff from...
And Sarah from Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, formerly of Chicago. This is actually not the first time we've heard from her.
And so. Sarah is slowly stalking us. She's the world's laziest stalker.
This is why I'm going to try and move. Yeah. I'm going to leave you here in Columbus so that she can come get you.
Yeah, she used to be in Chicago, and she moved. She overshot us, went to Cincinnati, and I think she'll be in Youngstown sometime next fall. So.
But we love her anyways because she listens to the show. We love all of our... listeners, except for that creepy guy in the bushes out there. So, yeah, it's weird. Anyways, when we come back, we're going to round it up and wrap it up and roll them out and rawhide. wrapping you up here on Fat Guys the Movies.
No, we're not.
We're not?
No, I guess we are.
Oh,
it's the last segment.
The, I don't have a name for this one.
No, we're back on the radio here.
Never mind.
Yes, yes, we are.
Anyways,
back on the radio.
Anyways, it is time for the DVD roundup, as we do every week. And we'll start with Kevin's pick, which I would probably second this one. Yeah.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And I picked this because I thought the movie was okay. I mean, it was like for me, it was a very solid kind of rocks movie.
Right.
But I'll tell you, after seeing it on DVD, one thing is a DVD from Judd Apatow and gang, like a high level DVD, not like Drillbit Taylor, but
right.
But
one of their decent movies.
Yeah, one of their big movies. It's like getting a DVD from Kevin Smith and company. It's loaded with features. Cool stuff. So
yeah, I noticed that. I'm still working on the Blu-ray. It's got like 100 hours worth of crap.
Oh, it's ridiculous. So. It's ridiculous. You can, and not as ridiculous as your pick, which I believe you can just put in the DVD player and watch it. Let it run an entire
and
week.
You would win the Netflix championship.
Yeah, just
that
on
we talked
own.
About in the internet only segment. And my pick is, if you didn't understand it, if you didn't pick that up already, is Iron Man.
Yes.
The quintessential DVD to own
the
this
little
fall.
Independent film.
And
that
you're
joke
right.
Doesn't get old.
No, it doesn't. You're right. It literally took me about 15 hours to get through all of the special features. And the problem is, you know, there's a lot of, like, there was some stuff on the Sarah Marshall DVD that I could have not watched and been just fine.
Like the production diaries.
Like the production diaries. Is like, there's like 800 of them and they're all kind of a waste because it's just like, and here's a mountain.
Well, the production
and
diaries.
The director.
I think
and
it's interesting enough because the production diaries on that, it really shows
some editing.
Well, it shows that celebrities are just as sort of like lame as
exactly.
everybody else.
It showed the lameness of the cast and crew. But Iron Man, all of the special features are fantastic on it. There is a huge featurette about the history of Iron Man in comics. And it's got like interviews with
Iron Man was in comics?
All the guys from Marvel
was a
and
comic.
Warren Ellis.
I thought he was a comic. He was a stand-up comic. No. A guy with a mask.
Just stop
and
it.
Fly.
You're throwing me off here. And then there's this. And then there's a huge production diary, which literally, Jon Favreau over the course of the production diary loses like 80 pounds. He starts off. It starts off with him in the Marvel offices.
It gets his legs.
No,
chopped
it's funny
off.
Because like it starts off with him in the Marvel offices, and he's really big, you know, because he, I don't know, two
he's
years ago was a big guy, and you literally see him slim down through the entire process because they filmed this featurette through the entire process of making the movie, and there's all kinds of cool stuff from like Stan
Winston's.
He is
the Oprah Winfrey of superhero movies.
Maybe.
Because he loses weight and gains weight.
Yeah.
And he makes superhero movies. Or one.
He's going to do two at least.
Yes.
So. But Did no, I thought it was, it is a fantastic DVD, especially if you like the movie. It is like one of those must-have type things, and not just to see the movie again, because there's a ton of stuff. So,
well, I'll tell you one other pick I do want to throw out there is there's a whole bunch of classic horror movies since October, classic or old horror movies that they're releasing on Blu-ray. It almost makes me want to go get a Blu-ray player now because you got stuff like John Carpenter's The Thing, awesome movie,
Dawn of the Dead, Land of the Dead. I got all three of those.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is hysterical because that's the grainiest movie ever made.
Yeah.
So like it's actually the pixels I think are it's
what,
more
the thing?
No, Texas Land. Chainsaw.
Oh, Texas Chainsaw.
It's like in higher definition than the original movie.
So and there's also the Mindscape of Alan Moore that came out.
Yeah.
And if you know Alan Moore, he's the guy who wrote Watchmen.
I don't know.
Crazy.
I knew who he is. I don't know him.
He's
I don't have his phone number.
I've never met him either. So anyways, what's our stinker of the week?
Well, there's Pulse 2.
We got the Deuce of the Deuce.
Yeah,
here.
Pulse 2 and Rest Stop 2. These are two movies that weren't that good.
The Deuce of the Deuce, which is the deuce of the DVD picks.
Yeah, it's these movies that were like not good movies
the first
initially.
Ones weren't good.
Yeah, and then they're making sequels.
Which I believe that there's a joke in Sarah Marshall about the first Pulse.
Yeah, the one about the cell phones that kill people.
Yeah, about cell phones that kill people. Because it's, you know, because she was in that movie, Kristen Bell.
That's right.
And they made a Pulse 2. Which is impressive. That takes some gravitas.
Which is not as pathetic as when they made the Skeleton Key 2.
Right.
That was so direct to DVD. If it wouldn't even show up, like if you go to Amazon, you say these are the DVDs that are opening, that are coming out this week. You have to get to like screen 10.
Nice.
To actually find that one. It's like under like Rainbow Bright Returns with the Fairies or something like that.
Very nice. Okay, so that's the DVD roundup. We're going to now move right into our review wrap-up because we've got 100
Chihuahua.
Films. And we'll start with Beverly Hills Chihuahua. Kevin, you saw it.
It kind of rocked.
Kind of rocks. All right.
And we both... I'm going to change that to rock because it's a great family movie.
Okay, fair enough.
Kids love it.
And Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, we both saw it. I personally thought that it rocks.
I said kind of rocks.
Fair enough. And then Blindness, which we also both saw.
Kind of rocks.
I said kind of.
You said kind of rocks.
Okay.
We agreed on everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. How to Lose Friends and Alienate People, I said kind of rocks.
Kind of rocks.
We had Flash of Genius, which
kind of sucks.
Kind of sucks, unfortunately. And then An American Carol, which...
Preemptive suck.
It gets a preemptive suck, but we've determined that Kevin would probably like it and I would probably hate it. Yes. So.
And Appaloosa rocked.
And Appaloosa did not rock.
It so rocked.
Sucks.
I'm gonna punch you in the face, Neil Miller.
That was the fight of the week. But next week, we've got a smaller slate of films. We've got Body of Lies, City of Ember, The Express, football movie.
Which I'm not going to say.
And Quarantine... with my future mistress, Jennifer Carpenter.
Yeah. Does she know this?
Not yet, but okay. She will.
She will.
At the time that it happens.
She's handcuffed in your basement.
She will. So, but if she's listening, if you're listening out there and you'd like to get a hold of us so that we can move this process along, fatguysthemovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes. Remember to go and review us on iTunes, the iTunes store, Fat Guys the Movies. You can call us, area code 614-388-8735, or you can send us an email, fatguysatfilmschoolrejects.com.
Just say that with power, Neil. Just go out with a bang.
Or not.
Yay!